Amen. Let's give our praise team a hand this morning. Thank you all so much. You do a fantastic job. Appreciate that. Love the songs. Love the singing. Thank you so much for the work and effort you put into leading us each and every Sunday. Take your Bibles this morning. No big surprise. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And we'll find our way down to verse number 17. Ephesians 6 and verse number 17, we've been talking about the armor of God, as you know by now, for quite some time. Again, we'd like to welcome any visitors we have with us here today. If you're visiting, we are glad you're here, and we welcome you. We've been talking about the armor of God, and just to kind of remind ourselves where we are, because I do this every week, maybe I need reminder for where I am, but we've been begin this in verse number 10 of chapter number 6 with the Apostle Paul. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God," he says in verse number 11, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the deceptions, the lies of the devil." The Bible says then, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then repeated once again in verse 13, "Wherefore, or because of this battle, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And I've reminded us each and every week that there is a battle. There is a battle for our children. There's a battle for our lives. There's a battle for us to not follow after the truth and the understanding of the Word of God. And so the devil has a plan and a scheme, as the Bible calls it, that will seek to derail, to destroy us. I mentioned last week that the ultimate plan and the ultimate scheme of the devil is to get you to doubt God's Word. We went back to Genesis for this last week, and we discussed that God had instructed the man, Adam, of all the things he could do within the garden. And then the first thing that he begins to do in chapter number 3, he says, "Did God really say that? Is that really what he said?" And then he begins to tempt Eve and say, "Well, listen, God knows that that if you do this, you will be as a God." And God did not really mean what he said. So the ultimate goal of the devil is to keep you from hearing, obeying, listening, and doing the Word of God. And so we found our way to verse number 17 last week, and we'll talk about this again this week. The Bible says, "And take unto you the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit," towards the middle part of verse 17, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We discussed that the devil wants to try to keep you, as I mentioned already, from doing the Word of God. Jesus tells a parable about the sower that is sowing the Word, and the devil comes immediately trying to take it away or keep people from doing what God would have them to do. So the devil wants us to keep us from hearing, believing, and obeying God's Word. And that's all from last week. So this morning, I'd like to begin helping us understand the importance of the Word and how to take up the sword of the Spirit. As the Bible says in verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." This is something that is to be utilized and taken up in battle. So how do I fight spiritual battles? Well, I know I'll just give myself a good pep talk, right? And I'll tell myself, today's the day on my own ability, my own power, I will win the battle. I can't fight spiritual battles. The Bible says what kind of battle this is. It's not with flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, rulers of darkness. And so the way to fight in spiritual battle is to take up the Word of God. The Word of God is mentioned here in this armor is the only offensive weapon. We all understand, I would imagine, that you don't win a battle by defense alone. At some point, you need to go on the offense. It's easy sometimes to think of only playing defense. Right now, we have a lot of NFL and college football going on, and there's teams with great defense, and it's fun to watch defensive struggles. But if the offense never scores, You don't win, all right? I mean, you have to eventually go on the offense. Even if you only score 3 points, or whatever it may be, you have to score some amount of points to win. And so we take that principle or that idea and understand that we have defensive armor as the devil comes with his lies and his deception, but there has to be a time where we get up and we begin to move forward with the Word of God. We don't just win by wearing shoes or a belt or having a certain amount of armor on. Through this passage in verse number 17, I believe God is calling us through the Word of God to go on offense. Now, I have all kinds of different illustrations, and this one I hesitate a little bit to even use, but I'll use it anyway. Joanna can get after me later when I get home. But have you ever seen the movie Rocky Balboa? Especially number 4, right? I think it's when he's fighting the Russian. You know, and I think it's number 4, and he's out there, and he's training in the snow, and he's doing all these different things, and then the fight starts, and you know it's a movie, because there's no way Rocky could survive the blows he takes from the other boxer, and he's just covering, you know, pop, 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 just covering, you know, and you're watching round after round after round, and he's just getting pelted, and then all of a sudden, the music changes in the movie. Right? And Rocky uncovers for a moment. And then he goes and he starts pounding and you're just all excited and you're watching him. And Rocky's, you know, and then he cuts him, right? And then he starts bleeding and everyone's like, what in the world? He is human, right? And then Rocky keeps fighting and he wins the boxing match. There is a time, right, where we're on defense. The devil's throwing his blows and he's coming after us. But there's also a time, listen, there's a time to rise up with the Word and the strength of the Word of God and go on some offense against the devil. To really apply the Word of God. To really do what God has called us to do and study and memorize. And I'm getting way ahead of myself here with the Word of God. And not just cower in the corner saying, oh no, please, don't hit me again, devil. Get up. You got the Word of God. Use the Word of God and go forward with the power and the strength of God's Word. Have you ever thought about the fact that we don't just have the Bible to defeat the devil, but to remind us that the devil's already been defeated? Have you ever thought about that? We don't have just the Word of God to remind us how and what to use to defeat the devil, but also to remind us that the devil has been defeated. The last I checked, the Bible says Christ holds the keys now of eternal life. The last I checked, Christ won the victory over sin, hell, and the grave. The last I checked, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The last I checked, when the Gospels, when Jesus encounters a demon, the demon recognizes who Christ is and start asking him for what he could do. He said, would you just put us over here? Because the demon himself recognized that Christ had greater power. So we have to remember, as John 4:4 says, as I've already quoted, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter number 54. I would imagine you'd recognize this verse. Isaiah chapter 54 in verse number 17. The Bible says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What does the book of James say in James chapter 4 in verse number 17? The book of James chapter 4 in verse number 17 says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But the Bible also tells us in the book of James to resist the devil and he shall flee from you. It is written concerning Christ that he has power over the wicked one. So many times as Christians, we are living scared and timid lives. So many times as Christians, we cower when the devil comes with his lies and his deceptions. It is written that God, through Christ, has given us victory over the wicked one through Christ. It's time as Christians that we quit living scared and that we take up the Word of God and begin to go on the offense. Let me give you some examples of this. We're already in the book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 22. Now you would imagine, say, Josh, I don't quite understand why we're in the book of James. We're talking about Ephesians chapter, verse number 17, chapter 5 and 6 there with the armor of God and all these things that are going on. And so the book of James begins to talk about the importance of the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse number 22, in James chapter number 1, but, he says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I think this is important as we talk about the use of the Word of God in the armor. It is our offensive weapon. What happens sometimes as Christians, we are hearers only of the Word of God. Well, we hear it, right? But sometimes we aren't willing to do what God has instructed us to do. The Scripture is full of encouragement, full of commands, full of things as the Holy Spirit leads us in our lives. So the book of James says, in order to go on the offensive against the devil, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now the end of this verse is quite interesting because he says then, if you are a hearer and not a doer, something happens. Verse number 22 says, if you just hear the word and don't do the word, you're deceiving your own self. We're deceiving ourselves by simply hearing the word and not doing it. In other words, God has revealed to us truth. God has revealed to us the way to live. God has given us instructions for families. God has given us instructions for husbands, for wives. God has given us instruction for how to live in this world. He has given us instruction for how to be in heaven and how to live the Christian life. And it's foolish and deceptive for our own selves to simply hear something and not do it, right? Again, the example I would give you, and like a lot of times we'll like to use men for this, and this was before we had Google Maps and all those things, but you know, men don't like asking for directions. Do any of you like to ask for directions? I didn't think so. Gary's already nodding his head no, right? No one likes to ask for directions. It would be foolish to pull over, ask for directions, get the directions, and not do what you were told. Right? I mean, that'd be clear. And you'd be deceiving your own self by doing that. So many times in our lives, we say, God, I just want to know what to do. I just want to know what you'd have me to do. And then the Word of God reveals it. We say, I just want to know what to do. And we keep asking. It's like the young man that had fallen over a cliff and he was hanging on to a tree root. Maybe you've heard this before. And he's hanging on to the root and he's crying out for help. Help me, help me, help me. And finally God speaks from heaven. He says, let go. And there's silence. And the young man cries, is there anybody else? You know, I don't want that. I don't want to let go. Can I get some other advice other than let go? And sometimes that's how we are as Christians. We don't go on the offense because we're hearers and we're not just doers of the Word of God. And when we act that way and when we live that way, we're deceiving ourselves. We're hurting our own life and our own understanding. The Bible says this in verse 23 of James 1. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word of God and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. God instructs us to not just hear the word of God, but to do and apply what God has for us. Go to the book of Matthew now, another familiar portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7 and verse number 26. Jesus here is telling the parable about foundations. And we recognize that he says in verse number 24, I know I said go to verse 26, but go to verse number 24. Jesus is speaking and he's talking about rock and sand foundations. Well, I'm from New Mexico, you understand, and there's a lot of shifting sand and a lot of buildings that sink in New Mexico. It just does not hold up well for foundations and things such as that. And many times, even the church I went to, a lot of times in my growing up years, had a crack right down the middle of the sanctuary, and the sanctuary fell in different directions. But the Bible says, in Jesus speaking in verse 24, he says, "Therefore heareth these sayings of mine, and what? And doeth them." Who hears them and does them? He says, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So hearing and doing the word of God is building your life in this situation on a firm foundation. But look at what he says in verse 25, "And the rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and beat upon the house, and it doesn't fall, for it was founded upon the rock." Well, what's the rock? Hearing, applying, and doing what God has given us. Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and does them." See, it's one thing to be in church on a Sunday morning and hear. It's another to hear and do. It's one thing to receive directions. It's another to follow them, right? I've told you before that Joanna and I were in Washington, D.C., and Joanna was my navigator, and we were there going around the Washington Monument, and we kept going on the same loop over and over. We'd never been there before, and Joanna kept saying, "It says turn right." We turn right. There we go again. I said, "We've just saw the National Monument there." And then we go again. We're looping it again, looping it again. And finally I said, "Honey, what in the world is going on?" And she says, "Oh my goodness, my phone is upside down." And we had just been going in circles. And we got a great tour of Washington. But, you know, it's one thing to hear. It's another to do, right? And so that's how we are sometimes in our lives, is that we're hearing, but we don't do. You're in driving on a route, and your phone says, "Turn left." Or you just keep going. And then what's it say? Rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Take a U-turn. Christian, let me ask you, are we all guilty of this at times in our lives, of hearing and not doing? Of knowing what God would have us to do, knowing the truth of God's word, and simply not applying what God has given to us in Scripture. And he says this, "If you hear it and do them, you're wise, and your house, your home, your life is built upon a rock, and the storms come and the trials come, and it stands because it's built upon the truth of the eternal word of God." But then he says in verse number 26, Jesus still speaking, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." See, it's the same group, right? They're hearing the same message. This is always a great encouragement to pastors, because you're thinking, if Jesus is saying this and there's still a group not doing it, it makes me feel a little better, right? And so he says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And the sand moves away, right? "And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." What's the difference? Same word, same message. Same speaker, two groups of people. The first group heard, applied, listened, obeyed, practiced the truth of Scripture, as we see in this example of what Christ was speaking. The second heard and said, "You know what? I know better. You know what? I think I'm going to do this instead of what God's word has revealed. I know better. I know better about my situation than God knows about my situation. So I'm going to just do what I want." Well, the result of that, as James said, is a deception for yourself. You're hurting yourself. And it says you build this life, given by illustration of verse 26, this life, but it's built upon sand, and the sand shifts away, and the house falls, and great was the fall of it. Have you ever been to the beach and built a sandcastle? and it took all day, and you're exhausted, and your back is sunburnt from digging in the hole in the sand, right? And it's no time as you're standing there on the shore, and the tide comes in, and it's gone. And the next day, you can't even tell where it was you built that home or that sandcastle there on the sand, because it just washes away. But you've been maybe outside the coast of Maine, the rocks that come out of the ocean there, and the water beats up against them constantly, but they remain. That's the picture that we see here. Are we building our lives upon hearing and doing the Word of God? And that's why the Apostle Paul in chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the sword of the Spirit. It's offensive. Do listen, apply what God has for you in this life. Go to James one more time, and then we're going to make some applications this morning. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. James 4 and verse number 7. Again, these are scriptures I would imagine you would be familiar with. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, and then look at this, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What do we resist the devil with? I believe we resist the devil with the truth of God's word, not with our own wit. You know, have you ever tried to resist the devil by your own power? I've tried that before. And you find out he doesn't go very far away. But when you resist the devil with the truth of God's word, countering his lies, that's when he flees from you, because he recognizes you aren't taking the bait for the lies that he is telling you. Resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, the truth of the Word of God, by hearing, obeying, and applying the truth of God's Word, and the devil begins to recognize they're not going for it. I'm going to go find someone else. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. Just a few applications for us this morning. The question may be asked, well, Josh, all this, how do I take up this sword? How do I take up this offensive weapon? And I've kind of told you different ways throughout this, but just a few applications this morning. Number one, and again, I'm just going to warn you, this is going to blow your mind. Number one, study the Word of God. Oh, Josh, that is deep. That is deep. It's too much almost for me to handle, right? But you'd be surprised how many Christians are unwilling to study and apply and know the Word of God. That's our sword. That's our offensive weapon. Excuse me. That is how we respond to the lies the devil tells us. And I won't give you examples, but think of all the lies and deceptions there are in the world today. Think of how confused everybody is. One such lie is that sin is fun continually. I know at first it could seem to be that way, but sin ultimately brings pain, damage, and hurt. And the devil and his lies tell you the exact opposite. Study and apply the Word of God. And the way I would apply this is this: you can't win a fight with a sword you don't know you have. Right? I mean, the devil comes with his lies, and you're looking around, well, what do I say? How do I contradict this? If you have an understanding of the Word of God, you come against the lies of the devil as he seeks to get us to doubt the Word of God with the truth of the Word of God. And I explained this to you last week. Remember, Christ quoted Scripture 3 different times because he's teaching us the principle of the truth of the Word of God. Study and apply the Word of God. You can't fight with a sword you don't know you have, and the swords you don't understand. Number two, in way of application, as the Apostle Paul has encouraged us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 17, take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit. It's something we're learning, we're studying, we're obeying, we're applying. As the devil comes with his lies and deception, we study the Word of God, we apply the Word of God. Number two, this is deep too. Memorize Scripture. Josh, I'm too old to memorize. You remember how to get home? You memorize every day. You taste the food you like. Hey, let's have that again. You remember that. We remember things every single day. Joanna's father, how old is he, dear? 80 years old. He carries 3x5 cards in his pocket every day with scriptures written on them. And he memorizes a verse a day. And you would think, Mr. Kaufman, he's a scary man, all right? He's 6'5". When I asked Joanna's dad to marry him, he put me on the tiniest chair in his office. And he's sitting behind a desk, you know, just towering over me. And I'm on a chair about that tall with my knees up like this, right? And I'm like, Mr. Kaufman, would it be okay? Oh, man. But he memorizes scripture every day. He's 80 years old. Study, apply the word of God. Memorize scripture. Memorize what God has in his word. The devil is going to come with lies. He's the father of them. You'll be shocked the lies that he'll come at you with. And if we don't know the truth, then he can convince us of these lies. The devil's going to tell you that God doesn't love you through Christ. But the verse we memorized today from our New Year's challenge tells us the exact opposite. The Bible tells us the truth about heaven and hell. The devil will come with his lies and say, well, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Surely there's, just open your mind a little bit. But the scripture says there is no salvation other than through Jesus Christ. I mean, we can go on and on with things. You know the lies the devil tells. Study, apply the word of God, memorize the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, the Bible says, that I might not sin against thee. Well, what would be a sin? A sin is doing against what God would have you to do. In other words, a sin would be falling for the lie of the devil that he's deceiving you in. And so the Bible says, I've hid thy word in my heart that I won't sin against you. In other words, I'll be aware of what the lie is because I know the truth. Memorize the word of God. Take up that sword. I know we have defensive weapons up to this point, and that's oftentimes where we like to start as Christians. I just want to be secure over here, and I want to know if he fires a dart at me that I'm going to be protected. But I'm not stepping a step the other direction. But the Bible says that step in the other direction comes from studying, applying, and memorizing the Word of God so you can begin to go forward on the offense in this battle that we are in. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, he says. And the reason he's writing that is because Rome was full of all these different doctrines and all these different religions. And they would look at Paul and they'd say, oh, Paul, that's just another one. And then Paul writes and says, but I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's what? It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what we have. The scripture came not in old time, the Bible says, by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Memorize the word, study the word, and apply the word to your life. Number three, when's the last time we meditated on the Word of God? I say, Josh, how old are you? Right? I mean, this is not something younger people do, right? Older people meditate. Younger people, you know, they don't meditate. But when's the last time that we meditated on the Word of God? That really said, God, what do you have for me in this verse or in this passage? What would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? What decision would you have me to make? Meditate on the Word of God. How do we take up the sword? We study, we apply, we memorize, we meditate upon. Let me show you this quickly in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 46. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 46, the Bible says this, And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. I know there's different applications and interpretation of what's going on here, but you recognize here, he says this, he said unto them, set your hearts unto the words, teach them to your children. It's not a vain thing, because it is your life. Believe it or not, right this moment, there will be a day where the greatest knowledge that you have ever learned or understood is the truth of Scripture. Because what you understand from Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith in Him will determine your destiny forever. And yet we put it aside like it doesn't matter so much. We're in a battle. We're in a world of lies. We're in a world of deception. Set your mind towards it, he says. It's your life. It's important for you. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then one more passage this morning, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 24. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 24, the Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And then he says this, the grass withers and the flower fades, he says. But then he says this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, all these other things, the Bible says it fades, it withers, it dies. But not this, not the truth of the word of God. He says it's forever, he says. And so the Apostle Paul, back in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. Study, apply, memorize, meditate on the Word. Go on offense against the lies and the deception of the devil with the truth of the Word of God. And don't be ashamed of it, because this truth is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Christian, one of the greatest deceptions the devil tries to do is to keep us out of the Word, to keep us out of Scripture. If he can keep you out of Scripture, he can feed you lie after lie after lie. And that's exactly what he's doing to this world. But it's time as Christians that not only do we have the defensive armor on, but we also take up that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we begin to move forward one by one, contradicting the lies with the truth of the Word of God. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanne and Beth are going to come and play a song for us. As they begin to play, can we just take a moment there in our seats to think about ways and areas in our lives where we have believed and been deceived by lies. Maybe today is the day to make a commitment to the truth. Maybe today is the day to say, I'm going to begin to study and apply the truth of God's word. I want to be a wise man, a wise woman that builds my life upon the rock, not upon the sand. Maybe you've already experienced what it's like to have a life built upon the sand. And a storm came and the temptations came and you fell. It's time to rebuild. It's time to hear, obey, apply, memorize, study the Word of God. The devil hates when believers take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take a moment there in your seat, and however the Lord is speaking to your heart this day, respond. Thank you, Joanna. Bethany, I challenge as a church that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers only, and that we would build our lives upon the truth of God's word, that when the lies and deceptions come, our homes, our lives will stand against these things. Let's stand to our feet today. I was looking at the verse I chose, and maybe it should be a little more positive, but it's important for us to be reminded why we need the sword of the Spirit, why we need the truth of God's word. And that is found in 1 Peter 5:8. I think one of the things the devil loves to do is to help try to convince us that there's no battle. There's no war you're in. I'm not after your kids. I'm not after your family. I'm not going to bother your church. I would never bother your pastor. Don't pray for him. Don't worry about it, right? Everything is fine. But this verse reminds us that we need to be busy with the truth of God's word. So let's read this together. Ready? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And our response to that is, Monty, put up Ephesians 6:17 real quick. Our response to this is this. Let's read this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done. Help us, Lord, to take up the sword of the Spirit, to read, memorize, study, apply the word to our lives. We thank you for the truth that you give us from your word. Thank you that you do not leave us on our own to do things on our own ability. But Lord, you have given us the word of God. Help us to resist the devil with your truth that he may flee from us. We thank you for all you have done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. And may we apply, or may the Holy Spirit apply to our lives what we have heard this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you all. You are dismissed. Hope you have a great week.